Namaste and welcome to Vedanta, the River of Wisdom podcast, a podcast that brings to you the ancient flowing tradition of wisdom that reveals you are pure being having a human experience. I am Swamini B, a Vedanta teacher and a Hindu monk, and your guide by the side. Let us flow, you and I, on the banks of the River of Wisdom. Announcement about a new course in 2024. Life is short. We want our lives to matter. In quiet moments, we wonder, why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? Modern society tells us to find your passion and have a work-life balance. These incomplete statements do not work. These statements lose their fizz after some time. To live a complete and well-rounded life, our ancients guided us to anchor ourselves on Sanatana Dharma. Depending on our age and stage of life, we can discover and live our Swadharma, which is a life of purpose and connection. And so, as we welcome the new year 2024, I'm happy to announce my course on Swadharma, Discovering and Living Your Life Purpose, under the aegis of the Hindu University of America. It is such a popular course that I'm offering it for the third time now, spread over 11 weeks. We begin on 14th January and every Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific time. By the end of the course, you would have discovered and started to live your life purpose. Do register soon. Details in the description of this episode. It is likely that you have heard this popular story, which is attributed to Native American culture. A young boy was sitting next to his grandfather as he looked out the window. The young boy looked up at him and said, "Grandpa, a fight is going on inside me. It is a fight between two wolves. The dark one is angry and hurts everyone. The light one is good and kind to all. The wolves fight all the time. Grandpa, which one will win?" And the grandfather said, "Similar fights like the one in your heart go on in other people's hearts all the time. The one you feed will be the one who wins." Continuing this story, can we do away with the fights in our hearts? No. Why? Because choices and decisions need to be made every day. Then, what are the other fights that go on in our minds and hearts? How to know who will win? How to know whom to feed? Whether our pursuit is for health, wealth, or for self-knowledge, to be a master, a jitatma, the one who has mastered oneself, Bhagwan Krishna emphasizes that we need to be a friend to ourselves. We need to be a sakha, a bandhu. He reminds us, Uddharedatmanatmanam, natmanam avasadayet, atmaiva hyatmano bandhuhu, atmaiva ripuratmanaha. One should uplift oneself by oneself. One should not lower oneself, for the self alone is the friend of oneself. The self alone is the enemy of oneself. Here the word Atma refers to the person who is struggling with some conflict and trying to emerge from it. How? By lifting oneself. How so? By being a bandhu, a friend to oneself. What else? One need not look down on oneself. If we do so, it is being inimical to oneself, much like a ripu, an enemy. Bhagavan Krishna categorically says that we create a conducive inner landscape by being a friend, a bandhu to oneself. What does that mean? By talking to oneself like a friend would. By cultivating sakha or sakhi bhava, which includes your inner dialogue of a kind, loving friend. This episode can be complemented with episode 139, being one's best friend, sakhi bhava. Most of our conflicts are a clash of values. To resolve our inner conflicts, we learn what it means to be a friend to oneself and ally with dharma. You see, a friend accepts you, encourages you, and is there for you through thick and thin. Let's see whether the person is striving for physical fitness, or the professional is working on her projects, or the person is trying to save money. The struggle unfolding in their heart is a clash of the titans. No, the clash of the forces, discipline and laziness. Discipline says, stay committed, slowly and steadily we are reaching our goal. Laziness says, shut up, you deny me all the good things in life. One day of sleeping in or going lax is okay. We're not in the military. Discipline says, true, we are committed to self-mastery. You have made great progress. A little bit of struggle now and you will be happier and have more self-mastery. Laziness says, I don't care. You just shut up. This is too tempting. And the person succumbs to whatever the temptation is. The junk food, hours of scrolling social media to avoid the important work, the impulsive purchase, and so on. Discipline rears its head the next morning. Come on, wake up, it's a new day. Let's get back on track with our actions. Laziness says, I'm feeling really bad because of the slip-up yesterday. I think I will just sleep it out. I don't think I have it in me to be disciplined. And starts to distract oneself. Discipline says, don't be disheartened. Slip-ups happen to the best of us. I'm here to tell you that we just need to get back on track. The ship can never sail in one line, but it certainly stays the course. What is more important than the slip-ups is aligning oneself to the right course of action. Laziness just gives way to inertia. You remember Newton's laws of motion, right? A body at rest will remain at rest unless an outside force acts on it. Laziness says, whatever. Khao piyo maza karo. Eat, drink and make merry. You're getting too worked up in the name of discipline. Just go with the flow, bro. Discipline says, in the name of going with the flow, are you prepared to bang against the rocks? No. Are you prepared to become stagnant because there are too many rocks? No. Just do a few minutes of what you're trying to avoid. Laziness says, I'm too busy and, you know, I have a lot of assignments to complete. Discipline says, when it comes to work, you show a lot of discipline because it is externally imposed. You have accountability to your bosses. But when it comes to matters of health or saving money, what happens? Are all these not important? Laziness reluctantly says, okay, okay. Just for a few minutes, we will do this. Guess who won this round of the fight? Discipline. Because it is allied with friendly encouragement. Every day through the year, many more bouts, conversations between discipline and laziness will take place. if discipline wins in most of the bouts, the person striving for fitness will achieve self-mastery because of the firm voice of discipline in her head. For her, discipline would prompt her to have a consistent workout routine, a balanced diet, and a commitment to healthy habits of adequate sleep, rest, and managing stress. Discipline will feed the motivation to becoming more disciplined, resulting in improved health, increased energy, and a sense of accomplishment. On the flip side, if laziness wins most of the time, the person striving for fitness will skip workouts very often, indulge in unhealthy eating habits, and avoid the effort. The consequence is a missed opportunity for personal growth and the early onset of health-related issues. For the professional, if discipline wins in most of the bouts, the person manages time efficiently, meets realistic timelines, and consistently delivers high-quality work. This enhances her personal performance and also contributes to a positive and efficient work environment. On the other hand, if laziness wins in most of the bouts, the person is given to procrastination, lack of attention to detail, and a general reluctance to put in the effort required for excellence. This leads to decreased productivity, strained professional relationships, and missed opportunities for career advancement. For the person trying to save money, if discipline wins in most of the conversations, the person automates investments, reducing the friction of decision making. Then, from the money available, the person spends for necessary purchases, contributes to the family income, makes a policy to not borrow from friends, and reviews the financial strategy with a financial advisor. The person does this without shaming or berating oneself. On the other hand, if laziness or indiscipline wins in most of the conversations, then the person will enjoy the thrill of impulsive purchases, will want to shop in every festival sale, and accumulate a pile of debt, which will result in decline in trust in relationships, not enough savings, and spiraling low self-worth. As we see, it is possible to resolve our inner conflicts for clear decisions and definite actions by being a friend to oneself. Some of the other internal battles might be the conflict between composure and stress, between hope and hopelessness, between appreciation and criticism. These kind of conflicts are slightly easier as one is largely managing oneself. How about when there is a kind of conflict with another person where the external conflict has to be managed and also the arising internal conflict? Let's say person D was unfairly compared to her sister, who was taller, had better grades, and was more sociable. Nothing D did was good enough for her parents. She could always be better. Now, D is in her 30s and just beginning to understand how the constant comparison shaped her personality to be a high achiever while being critical of herself. Although her parents do not live with her, their voices still ring in her head, especially when she achieves yet another milestone. Dee hesitates to admit that there is some resentment for her parents, although there is also love and respect. Unbeknownst to her, there is a battle of accommodation and resistance raging in her heart. If Dee was being an enemy to herself, she would only echo the voice of the parents and constantly berate her. Resistance in her would sneer. After all this effort, I am still nowhere close to my sister. I'm just not putting enough effort. I wish my parents were not like this. I wish I was not like this. Resistance in her would continue, saying, I just cannot accept this is how my life has turned out. Even when my husband shares his love for me, I doubt it and ask him if he really means it. Has he compared me enough with all his exes? Am I really deserving? Is his love genuine? Resistance would just collapse with emotional exhaustion. Accommodation, Kshantihi, has been listening in quietly and softly says, I hear you and I'm there for you. Resistance says, what's the use? My parents don't think I'm good enough, even now. Accommodation says, I accept you for what you are. It has been very tough for you, Dee. You have coped remarkably well. Just objectively look at all your achievements. You've turned out to be an empathetic leader, a kind, giving, and sensitive person. Because you went through so much comparison, you do not subject your employees to it, nor your little children to it. What happened was hurtful, and yet that made you resolve that you would not behave like your parents did. Without justifying their behavior, your parents were raised with comparison and criticism, and they passed on the legacy, as it were, to you. Their intentions were always clear and they continue to have a lot of love for you. While we can understand that our parents did not know any better, we need not accept that everything was right about them. Accommodation continues. Accept that you cannot fully accept yourself, and that's okay. You can accept that there is still some anger and hurt towards parents. It is okay. Take your time to process all this. See that the law of karma unfolded in certain ways to go through these experiences. Accept that it was one's own karma of previous lifetimes coming back. Perhaps one might have subjected one's children in a previous lifetime to a lot of comparison and criticism. Who knows? Make space for the law of karma to unfold. Accommodation says, it is good that you shared with your parents how their parenting style shaped you. You understood why they did what they did, although you do not agree with it. After all, understanding is not agreement. While your parents struggle to understand and are too proud to admit that they made mistakes, they are old and struggling with health issues now. You can do your duty towards them. Resistance is shifting uncomfortably, but feels accommodated by accommodation. If Dee was being a friend to herself, she would ally with the value of accommodation and acceptance. Resistance will lift its head ever so often, and the dialogue between resistance and accommodation will continue. Since Dee has resolved to be a friend to herself, she will find her allies and fight it out, ever emerging victorious, well on the way to self-mastery. To conclude, the way to clear decisions and definite actions is shaped by our inner dialogue. As a friend, one can ally with all the values of dharma and can emerge victorious in every fight with another or with oneself. In other words, we ally with Bhagwan because dharma is a manifestation of Bhagwan. By making space for all of who we are, we make space for Bhagavan who pervades all of us. We make space for all the laws of nature that sustain us. When we make space for us and all our conflicts, we make space for Bhagwan in our hearts. Then, what Bhagwan says in the Bhagavad Gita becomes our reality. Sarvasya chaham riti sannivishtaha. I am present in the heart of all beings. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. You matter. Your life matters. What you do with your life matters. Thank you for listening. If you took away something of value from this episode, I would really appreciate it if you were to tag me either on Twitter at DiscoverAtma or on Instagram at DiscoverAtma and share your thoughts and reflections. If you are on Spotify, then please let me know what you think of this episode. And if you are listening to this on Apple or any other podcasting platform, then do spare a few moments and leave a review or rate this episode, because this small input of yours will go further in making the podcast known to people who may be interested. Thank you for doing this. Would you like to receive an email every month that will bring to you more wisdom, more happiness, and more freedom? If the answer is yes, then our monthly newsletter Arshavidya Bharati is for you. It has articles on living our traditions, links to podcast episodes, articles and videos published elsewhere in the month, reflections about how Vedanta is changing the life of students, announcements about events and courses, profound Sanskrit sayings, and much, much more. And it's not too long. Do consider checking out this month's issue and also subscribe. The links are in the description of this episode. The transcript of this podcast is available on discoveratma.com/category/podcast. I would love to hear from you. If you have a request or a reflection, please write to me at swaminiji@discoveratma.com. That's swaminiji at discoveratma.com. As always, thank you for listening, and we meet next week.